Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oy gamala, Erica, that's a hard song to follow up. That's beautiful. The light of God. Very, very powerful. A lot of words in there that speak directly to what we're hopefully going to preach about today. We've been going through some interesting topics in Bible study on Sunday mornings. And a lot of you that are in Bible study probably don't need to hear it again, but I'll tell the others. You know, we've been going through basically the first subject that we came up with was Christ in us. And really, how does that manifest itself and what does that do? Then we talked about heaven, which I think is interesting because a lot of people don't spend time actually preaching or speaking or talking about heaven and what they think it might be like or whatever, because it's kind of more or less what people feel, I guess. And then we talked about the gifts in the body, and that's what today's message will be more about, the gifts that are found in the body. And then going from there, it's fellowship. We went this morning through a little bit of fellowship and the importance of fellowship and how that can really exemplify the church. We live in some interesting times, and you've heard me say that 110 times, right? And I'm sure you're experiencing it yourself. And there's a variety of subjects that a person could preach on. But the interesting part of it is that this is not it. This is not the only time that we are to engage in the Word of God. This 28 minutes, which I'll turn it on. Nobody's keeping me to this. It's me. I'm doing it because of the radio ministry. But this is not it. We engage in the Word each and every moment that we feel a struggle, that we feel a victory, that we go through different changes, that we receive this word, that we, whether we listen to it, we get involved in a Bible study, we get involved in something else. But today, this day is a day to proclaim what God has done for us. This is a day of encouragement that we come here and we receive a message to empower us to be able to enter into this world and to deal with a lot of the struggles. I'll give you an example, and please forgive me for this example. But at one point, I had an individual that came to me, and I highly respect the individual. But they gave me some signs that told me I should put these up because of the boogaloo bug out there. I need to put these up, and I'm not making fun of it. And I said, no, I'm not putting those up. If the board wants to, they can override me. I fully accept that. But I'm not going to do it. There's not a person on this earth, or at least in this nation, that doesn't know what's going on. And everybody should know the proper procedures. We're adults. We need a place where we can be normal, if we could say it in that way. I wasn't going to do that. What I'm trying to say to you is when we come here today, we need to see that we are valued, that God loves us, that He desires good for us. And this is a place to come and thank Him and to praise Him. And really, it's difficult for me as an individual. It's extremely difficult for me as an individual because I'm strong-headed. Not to say preach about the issues at hand at all times. Are they important? Yes. Are we blinded by them? No, we know they're out there. But this moment, this 28 minutes, is our time of encouragement, our time of refreshing, our time, if I could even say, of a separation from the world. And this is what Paul is trying to say to us in 1 Corinthians, because that's where we're going to read from today. He wants us to understand the gifts and the values that we have to impact a world around us that is hurting, that is struggling. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 12 through verse 31, what we call A. It's the first part of 31. And we're going to read this from in Jesus' name. You can remain seated as this is an epistle text. So Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so is it with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but actually many. I added the word actually. If the body should say, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he has chosen. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts we treat with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, hear that, honored, we rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the highest gifts. And I will show you still a more excellent way. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is your word that is before us. And I am sure, Father, that we have all heard this. But have we received it? Father, we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would allow us to drop our thoughts. Allow us to not have a conceived idea. But Father, allow your word to speak to us, to encourage us, to give us strength of who we are as your children. Father, we praise and we thank you for the gift of life. And we ask that you would allow us to live it in abundance. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Paul is trying to encourage those in Corinth. What's that matter? What does that have to do with us? Corinth was not really a nice area. All we have to do, God bless America and God bless Google, all we got to do is search it. But even in the church, or even in the church library down at the seminary, we have books. I know they're kind of hard to find nowadays, but we have books that you could research what the church fathers would talk about in Corinth. And there's one statement that I can say, Corinthian girls. Corinth was a dirty area. I believe they worshiped the goddess Diana. And really, there was this understanding that the fertility goddesses and all these were the most important thing. And so I don't have to go any farther there. You can look in modern America and see a lot of struggles in our day with issues of sexual issues. Corinth was dirty. But it's kind of interesting. Because Paul goes there, and he doesn't focus on that. When Paul goes there, he focuses on what Christ has done and what he continues to do. See, this is the importance, that we know who we are as a child of God. We know the gift that God has given us, and that we actually would have the ability to live it. It's amazing. Jesse, in his humanness, wants to focus on everything else. That's just me. That's why a lot of people would say, well, how can you get up there and preach this, this, and this? I don't know. It's a gift in reality. If there's anything good that comes out, and if there's anything stupid, that's me, I promise. But it's difficult to try to leave yourself out of these situations. But Paul is trying to encourage an area that is very well overtaken with sin. And he brings them the remedy. So he says now in the beginning of this chapter, one scripture verse that I want you to hear is verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I don't want you to be uninformed. He didn't tell them, now considering all the sin that's going on in your life, I don't want you to be uninformed. He says, I want you to know about the Spirit of God. And I want you to know about the gifts that he can give to each and every one of us. And so very straightforward, he starts talking about the unity in the Spirit of God. And so when he brings us out, he starts to talk about what the Spirit of God is doing in their midst. And then he comes to this point here, this conclusion. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, there is one body. So is it with Christ. He says, I want you to look out there, and I want you to take a moment, even in this room, and see all the individuals. Each and every one of us are unique in our own way. And sometimes, yeah, there can be squabbles, there can be difficulties, because we're imperfect people trying to build a congregation together. That's natural. But maybe for a moment, we could stop and we could see the qualities of each other, to see the value that God has entrusted us with. I sit here and I listen to the praise team and they get up and they sing. And it's very interesting because, tell you the truth, I'll just be blunt. I love watching Erica sing. Because she feels it. And I'm picking on one individual. But what I'm saying is if we open our eyes and we look at different people, we can find the gifts and the qualities that they have. I laugh when I read this text in here because at the end it talks about that God has even given the gift of ministration. Cheryl drives me nuts because that gift is so powerful in her. She can administrate everything. But do we see each other as having these gifts? And that we are all valuable parts of the body. And this is what he's saying. We're all different members, but we come together as one, because that is the body of Christ. For in one Spirit, we have been baptized. It says, actually, we have been joined together by one Spirit. That's what baptism means. To join together. Inseparable. So he says, we've been joined together, are baptized into one body. And then he actually starts to label this, because we have our tendencies as human beings to say what groups we're in. Who's boy, who's girl, whatever it may be, what denomination. But he comes on and he says, it's Jews and Greeks, the slaves and the free. He says, really, they were all made to drink of the same Spirit, to partake in the same gifts, the same gift of God. And this Spirit here is actually capitalized because that's indicating the Spirit of God. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And it doesn't mean that because you have a different gift that you have a lowlier spot. But reality means if God reveals to you a gift, or if you have a concern about something, maybe that's the direction that you need to go in. See, this is the interesting part. Gifts aren't for the individual. They're blessed to the individual. But the gifts that are given by the Spirit are for all of us. For each and every one of us. I picked on Cheryl. I don't know. She's probably not listening today. She is an Ishbiming, I think. She was supposed to fly in yesterday. But think about that for a moment. She does have a gift of administration, since I used it as an example only. Think about how many things she takes care of for this congregation. What about the people that get up and stand up there? I won't say any more names because that probably isn't prudent, but whatever. I don't know why we got to be so shy if God has blessed us. But do you know what an encouragement that is, that people get up there and read and do prayers, that I don't have to do everything? That's a gift. What about the gift of serving out in the kitchen to make sure that we are all blessed by having something to have for a snack? That is a gift. What about the Sunday school and everybody that comes together here to turn around and to teach the youth? That is a gift that God has blessed us with. What about those that serve in mission fields? Because Jesse can't technically run off to every mission field. And maybe you could, but I don't think we are. We're busy, right? But that is a gift when someone is called to that, that we can rally around them and support them. What about the gift of listening? We may not think that's very powerful, but it's extremely important to have a gift of listening. Gift of encouragement. Well, there's all kinds of gifts, right? So anyways, he talks about this. He says, you know, these gifts were given to everybody. He said, it doesn't matter where they come from. He says, because we're all partakers of the same spirit. He says, for the body does not consist of one member. This church is not about me. I'm part of it. So are you. But this church is about Christ. And we are all members of him. And so he says, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And then he gives you a description. And I think this is actually very, very powerful. He says, you know what? What if the foot was to turn around and say, I'm not a hand, so therefore I don't belong to the body. I think this is interesting because it's self-imposing. Have we ever felt that way? Have we ever felt that our gift is not really as worthy as somebody else's? That's a struggle. I have gone down that road. I really have. You know, I remember one time I was at a convention and I was talking to an elder and I told him, I said, I wish I had the gifts of that guy. And I thought it was so awesome how he answered me. He said, Jesse, God has made you particularly as he wanted you. Be yourself. Because I even felt bad because, see, I'm not like all staunch and holy and sober all the time. You know, I don't sit up here in a real reverent style. I'm not making fun of it. I just can't do it. And so I was kind of telling him that. And this is a pretty conservative man that I was talking to, and he said, God has made you to be who you are. Be who you are. Well, now I'm going to ask you, each and every one of you, who did God make you to be? And do you notice or do you understand the gifts that you may have, that they are extremely valuable? And they're for us. You think I'm crazy? We notice there's people not here anymore. There's some that sit in this pew right here that health hasn't been so good for them. Some mornings are very difficult for them to get up. Bill and Gail miss them immensely. I understand why they're not here. They watch. I don't know where to look, but they watch. But I miss their gifts of generosity, of hospitality, of love. Over there, about where Gary and Gerald are sitting, they watch every Sunday. I give them communion almost every month they come up, Bill and Ruth. Love the people, miss them immensely. But we get to visit. We know that they're there because mornings are hard when you get to be your late 80s. Sorry, they're getting old. But they're gifts of love and encouragement. And one of the greatest gifts that I think they also have is just a reverence. They make me want to be a better pastor because they treat me with such reverence. Those are gifts that God gives us, and we all have them. This is what Paul is trying to say. Don't think because maybe you're looking at somebody else's, the hand, oh my goodness, look at how that can wave and get everybody's attention, this boring foot. Well, how would I be standing there without a foot? It's extremely important. You know, you could turn around and say the foot is the foundation of a man. If he doesn't have good footing, he has nothing. So you turn around and you look at this. He says, if the foot was to turn around and say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. I love how it says this. That doesn't make it true. In spite of what I may think, God still loves me, still desires for me to have a place and a purpose within the body, in our uniqueness. I know some people don't like feet, but it doesn't make them any less important, right? It says, now, if the ear should turn around and say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. We can understand this. If I ask my wife, what's the first thing you notice about a person? She says, the eyes. I look to the eyes. We've heard the statements, they're the window to the soul. Or they have such pretty eyes. How many times have you actually said, man, I saw this girl today. She was so beautiful. Her earlobes were just gorgeous. But the ears are important, aren't they? They serve a great cause for each and every one of us. They serve a cause for the whole body. That yes, the eye may be able to see something, but what if the eye isn't focused on it? The ears can catch it. It's so important for us to understand that everything has a great value. I know the more hearing I lose, the more I miss it, right? I'm telling you. And one of these days, I'm going to have to break down and get one of them hearing aid things, but I'm going to hold out as long as I can because I don't want my ears to be that pretty. So anyways, he says, that would not make it any less part of the body. In other words, it's God's gift. It's God's value, not what we may think. He says, but as it is, now he says, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. Hear that. God is the one that has orchestrated the gifts by the power of his Spirit, and he has chosen you. That's how special these things can be. That God has chosen you for this purpose. It's just amazing to see how active God is in our lives, if we would but notice. He said, God has arranged all these things. He says, to tell you the truth, Paul goes on, he says, if all were single members, where would the body be? The answer is it wouldn't. It wouldn't survive. We need each other. He says, as it is, there are many parts, but yet we understand this in the physical sense, there is one body. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't have a need for you. Actually, the eye has a great need for the hand, and the hand has a great need for the eye. If the eye sees something, right, then the hand can defend it. Or if the hand is getting in the way of something that might do damage to the hand, the eye can defend that. We're there to help each other, to complement each other, to work with each other. We're all different personalities, we're all different people, but we are all in the same common cause. We are the body of Christ. He says, so therefore, nor again can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know? In other words, the feet serve the head. Wherever the head looks, that's where the feet go. They all work in unison. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable, on those parts of the body that we may think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. I love this. Because it's like I've struggled with this area for a little while. So I would say, I don't know what the average would be, but 75% of us. You got up this morning, you brushed your teeth, you took your shower, you did the thing, you walk in the closet, what's the first thing that you do? What am I going to wear? Dan Foote never had to think about this, did he? Because Connie picked it for him. But we do. We have a tendency to think, what am I going to wear today? we actually honor the parts that we cover, right? We try to figure out what will look best, how will it fit on us, how will we do it? We do. I mean, Jesse, this is a size 17, okay? I used to be a 16. Now I'm digging in my closet looking for bigger ones. I know, I've been talking about this for a while. But the point is, I want to cover up some of these modest areas. And you put thought into it. Americans put a lot of thought into what they wear. And really what God is saying here is, doesn't make them any less honored. We take a lot of thought into how we treat these members. Well, there may be members that are struggling in different ways. There may be members that aren't really ready to be open to the public, if we could say it in that way. And as the body of Christ, we honor them. We protect them. We have a concern for each and every one. There are some that are strong and ready to hit the streets proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And there are some that are just content to be right here. And there are some that are just standing in the back because they're not ready yet. But it doesn't make any of them any less valuable. They are all the children of God, saved by the blood of Christ, redeemed, and in reality to be honored as his children. He says, we understand this when it comes to our own body. Do we understand it in our congregation? Do we understand it in the body of Christ? He says, we treat those parts with more modesty, which our more presentable parts actually don't require. Like I said, we love our hands, right? We put rings on them. In fact, I asked my wife one day if she was disappointed God didn't give her more fingers. She said, why? I said, so you could wear more rings. Well, now I see she's wearing two or three on one finger now, so I think she figured out a plan for that. So anyways, he says, but really, which our more presentable parts don't require. He says, but God, I love how he talks about this. It's always God doing this. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honors to the parts that lacked. Really what he's saying here is there's parts of your body that really you don't see, that you don't understand, but they are the heartbeat of the body. Picture that. We don't really sit there and we always draw this cute little heart like for Valentine's Day, right? Nice red little heart, maybe a little arrow through it or something, which would kill it. But anyway, the point is, this is a nice little heart. But that's not what they look like. Kind of look like this beating ball of mass. But that is so important. There are many people in our congregation that are the heartbeat of a congregation that really have a powerful place. And I don't mean power according to man, but spiritually God has placed them there. And we may not even understand what they're doing. But God knows what they're doing. And they are the heartbeat. How would you live without a liver? Kidneys. They're very, very important. Maybe not the most beautiful to look at, but in reality, and I'm not trying to say members aren't beautiful, you're all beautiful, right? But maybe our position. You think I'm crazy? I've said this to you before. How often do we turn around and praise the janitor? She comes here after our beautiful tear-jerking service on Christmas Eve with an iron and paper bags and irons every pew for us because there's wax dripped all over them. What about when Nancy was doing the secretary's thing, and her and Ned twice had to clean up the bathrooms because they were overflowed? I wasn't here. But those positions keep the church going, and they're not the most glorious positions, but they're beautiful people doing it. Beautiful people doing it. And this is what he's trying to say. We all have a position. We all have a gift, and they are all to be cherished. He says, you know, he says that now God has composed the body to give greater honor to those parts. For what purpose? That there be no division. Doesn't matter if you're the pastor standing up here, or if you're the chairman of our church, or you're the one doing the reading, or you're the one cleaning the toilets, or you're the one serving in the kitchen. You are all valued and extremely important to the body of Christ.
What about those that serve in the nursery? I'm telling you, that's a gifted job right there, because if I served in the nursery, we wouldn't have any kids in there. I don't have that gift, but others do. This is what Paul is trying to say. We all are important. We all have a need. We all have a purpose. And so anyways, he says that there would be no division. He says, but that the members may have the same care one for another. Some may be stronger in faith, some may be weaker. We love them the same. Some may be bolder, some may be quieter. We love them the same. Some may have a position of authority, some may not, but we love them the same because we need all of them. And he says, God now has appointed in the churches first apostles, the sent ones. That's really what that means, the apostles. So there's missionaries that are sent out. There are people that are sent. God hasn't called everybody to do it, okay? He says, and then second, prophets. Prophets is what? Is this someone that can tell the future? This is a proclaimer. I'm not the only proclaimer here. You're all, in reality, proclaimers in your own way, but we've had other people from this congregation, when I can't be here, to step forward. That, to me, is extremely powerful, that they have a willingness to proclaim, to be a prophet. And that's relied upon by God, right? He said, and also we have teachers. We have all kinds of teachers in here. We have those that teach Bible study without me. There's those that will teach Bible study when I can't be here. There's those that teach Sunday school. It's immense how God has blessed this congregation. He says, then there's those that have miracles, that work miracles. Well, that's the beautiful part of it. Our prayers, we don't know what they will turn into. But it's those that have that prayer life that we can see turn around. We had a friend not long ago, just a couple weeks ago, last week, that was in the hospital with COVID, and they were threatening to put him on a vent. And the whole community of our friends was praying. And he's going home soon. Those are miracles. He says, and then we have those that have the gift of healing. You know, we look at this only in a physical aspect, and I believe it still can happen. I still remember those times where we would come and pray over people that are sick and hurting. That's no doubt about it. And whenever we are going somewhere as pastors, we go and pray over people, right? And healing does still take place. But what about spiritual healing? Really, the greatest healing that can come about is by someone receiving the encouragement of Christ and being healed eternally. He says, very straightforward. He says, and also, as I picked on Cheryl, administrating, taking care of the business of the church, the body. We need those people to do that. He says, and then also those that can speak in various tongues. Yes, he's talking here about speaking in tongues, but I think also to have, in a more natural way of saying, they have a way of saying things that people can understand. I have had people that have come into my life that have spoken words of encouragement to me when I was so desperate, but they have spoken in a way that I could grasp it. That is a gift. That is a gift. I'm not trying to take away from the real spiritual in speaking in tongues. I don't have that. But it's real. But what about being able to reach somebody so that they can understand? That is far more effectual. Even Paul says that himself. He says, I would rather speak two words that someone understands than 5,000 that they don't. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Absolutely not. Are all teachers? No. Do all do miracles? No. See, this is a problem. When we turn around and try to force these things on other people because we think that's what the church is, we screw it all up. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. He says, do all speak with tongues? No, there are churches that will make you and say you don't have the Spirit unless you do. That's false. No, it is a gift. All of these are gifts. But it doesn't mean we all have them. Do all interpret? No. And then he turns around, he says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. He says, really, he says, ask God to reveal what he desires from you, what gifts he's given to you. That's what my message is about today. My message is about God has blessed us immensely with a congregation of loving people. And we all have a gift. But it's like I've been reading this book on church being active, you know. And so anyways, this church being active. And one of the things that he brings out very strongly in this book, this author does, he says, we got to stop doing church. He says, and we need to be the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the church. We are the believers in Christ Jesus and Him crucified. We don't know anything else. It is a gift of God. Enter into this world and share that with love and with compassion, and understand that we are all gifted in different ways. You know, next Sunday we have a meal here. And Rudy's kind of in charge of running the kitchen, but we're all going to bring some stuff, I hope. I'm going to. Invite somebody. But try to invite somebody that's not churched. We're not trying to rob anybody. But invite someone to come up here. And if anything, they might get some sort of message and have a good meal. But it is the fellowship of the body that will win them over. Because people are lonely. People are struggling. And we have the tools and the equipment to encourage them. So if you think of it this week, invite someone. There's an annual meeting, but they can go have coffee. Rudy said he'll run the kitchen. He'll have it all set up. They can go have a cup of coffee while we're in here for a little bit. And if it's not this fifth Sunday, I happen to be on the annual meeting, do it the next time. But we have a lot to share. We have a lot of love to give, fellowship to give, encouragement to give. Why? Because I'm looking at a room of 120 people that are extremely gifted. We may not know it, but we are gifted. And that's all for the honor and the praise of God our Father. Because it says very well, but it is God who has arranged the members of the body. Each one of them he has chosen. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word today. And Father, in all sincerity, we thank you for each and every gift that is in this room. We ask that you would bless our congregation in a way that would encourage not only ourselves, but the community around us. Allow us to show the love of Christ. Father, we thank you for those that have a desire to help the youth. We pray that you would work with them and encourage them also. We thank you, Father, for those that have desire to teach Bible study in Sunday school. We ask that you would bless them and encourage them also. We thank you, Father, for those that walk through the doors with another that can't walk on their own. In other words, because of fear, because of struggles. We ask that you would walk with them and encourage them too. But Father, you have gifted each and every one of us, and we're not asking that you would allow us to be proud individuals and self, but reveal to us by the power of your Spirit what gift you have given to us, that we could be a light in this world. We thank you for all things, but most of all, this gift of life. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.